Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Stand Steele podcast. I am your host, Stan Steele. Now, as always, before we get going, I always got to take the time to thank the Most High for making this podcast, among many other things in my life, a reality. So I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. So today, we're going to be talking about a topic that's been heavy in the news, but I want to give a little bit of a recap from last week. So a few weeks ago, I talked about squatters, and like I said, squatters must go. They must go. They are out of control. So they're starting to pass or working on passing legislation that won't allow squatters to just, you know, have free reign of your place with them not having any obligation to the property owner. And just a little follow up on that. There was another ridiculous story in the news not too long ago where a guy was squatting in a property. He was squatting somewhere and then had the nerve to sublease the property that he's squatting in. So if this is not out of control, I don't know what is. But they're working toward putting things in place where squatters just can't do what they want and move and shake and operate how they want. They're actually going to places now, actually physically removing squatters who are abusing the squatters' rights laws, if you will. And that's where this thing is headed. So I'm glad that some change is being made as it relates to that. And like I said before, the squatters must go. Squatters must go. So with my podcast going forward, like I told you, I'm going to be featuring this fighter, a lightweight boxer by the name of Harley Maderos in the next couple of weeks, as well as James Popsy Sessoms, from formerly of the crew CMB out of Brooklyn, New York, as well as my man Super Ed from Queensbridge, New York. He's from the Queensbridge crew. And I'm going to be talking to those guys about, you know, how they turned their life around from misdeeds and wrongful acts into, you know, positive things that they're doing now. So we'll be filming those guys next week. Me and my crew, my main man, Khalil, he'll be with me. And we'll be doing some taping of these guys and getting these shows up for you guys to see. Now, today, we're going to talk about something that's been in the news heavy over the last couple of weeks. And we're going to talk about immigrants. Immigrants, migrants, however you want to call it. This is what we're going to discuss today. So the first thing I want to say with my experience working directly with immigrants is not all immigrants are bad. There's an estimated 175,000 immigrants that came here to New York City from Texas. And there are some great people that are here with their children. Kids are in school. They're trying to learn. And they're trying to better themselves and make their lives a little bit better. So if I want to debunk a rumor about them, that would be that all immigrants are not bad. So try not to look at an immigrant with a side eye, because the reality, as we all know about the United States of America, nobody actually belongs here with the exception of the Native Americans who were here from day one. Okay, so everybody that's here, they have been brought here with the exception, or they've come here with the exception of Shemitic, or AKA black people who are brought here through the transatlantic slave trade. But that's a whole nother story and a whole nother show. I could really go on and on about that, but I don't want to go too deeply into that. So, you know, you see in news reports about violence in the shelters and the immigrants don't want the food, or they have a problem with the way things are set up and, you know, how things are being, you know, the way they're being treated when they get here. And, you know, I think the first thing we should try to do is I think it's important when you're dealing with people that come here. I think it's especially with the influx that we've gotten from Texas, from Mexico and Venezuela and these places. excuse me, I think it's important that you speak the language, right? I think when there's a language barrier, a barrier can make problems occur where there weren't problems before, just because the two of you are not understanding each other. So when you have people in shelters or hotels or wherever they're staying, and it's like, you know, cramped up and there's a lot of people, when there's a language barrier, that can be problematic, you know, that can be really problematic. Me, myself, I'm actually learning, and I actually speak Spanish, and I'm learning more Spanish because I have a lot of immigrant students that I work with. So it makes it a whole lot easier when you can speak the language. And not only that, they feel comfortable, you know. Now, as for the violence that has been occurring in shelters, you know, a lot of the immigrants are saying that they have these room check-ins where they're not authorized, and they come in and they go through their stuff and they take their stuff and they want their stuff. And there's all kind of issues with that that leads to violence. And we don't want to have violence in the shelters, and we don't want immigrants getting hurt. People that are coming here just trying to, you know, do a little bit better for themselves. Right. So, you know, we need to get some solutions together to kind of decrease the incidents of violence that occur within these hotels and places of that nature. Now, as for the individuals that come here that, you know, you don't really know if they're good people, I don't know what type of background check occurs when you come to New York City, you know, from by way of Texas. Governor Abbott is sending migrants here on buses from Texas. So I don't know how they go about it. I don't know what the protocol is or the procedure is for when you come here. I don't know if they run a criminal check, if they see if you got any arrests, if you out on bail or any pending cases. I don't know how they would regulate that. I don't know how they would monitor that. That would seem like a big undertaking with so many people that are coming, you know, to Texas to come to New York City. So there would have to be a way once they touch down here in the city for them to do checks on all the people that come here. You know, there has to be, or maybe there needs to be some type of way to put these things in effect where the migrants, well, let me say it like this. So this way that if you have a migrant, you can get some understanding of who and what he is and what was he about or she about before they even reached the country from Texas and up into New York City. So there has to be a way to better monitor that. So with the migrant situation, here's one of the causes that caused such a great influx. So when the Trump administration was around, they did a rescinding of Title 42. So what Title 42 is, Title 42 allows the government to take emergency action to stop the introduction or spread of communicable diseases. So these are diseases that are caused, you know, by viruses or bacteria that spread via the air, or it could be bodily fluid, or it could be on surfaces. So the Trump administration, what they did was they said that they used it to say that the migrants coming in would be a cause for the spread of COVID-19 at the time, and that they didn't want the migrants here, so they wanted to send them back. So they rescinded Title 42. So, you know, they did that, and, you know, that led to a lot of people being turned away. But as the spread of COVID began to die down, then, you know, they began to open up, you know, avenues and pathways to send people to bring them back into the country and then ship them up here to New York City. Now, here's one thing about New York City that is unique, right? You know, the five boroughs, right? New York City has five boroughs, right? Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten Island. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten Island, and what's the one I'm missing? In Manhattan, right? So the Brooklyn has, so New York City has five boroughs. Now the problem is that New York City is very densely populated. There's a lot of people here, right? A lot of people here in the city. And, you know, this place just doesn't have the room for people. Like, I mean, even in the city, if you look at the city, there's no space to build anything, right? You can't really build anything in New York, right? Now, you have places in Brooklyn where they're squeezing in these buildings, in the Bronx where they're squeezing in these buildings next to existing buildings and things of that nature. But my point is, New York is a tight place. You know, it's a very tight place. And when you send more people here on ground that you barely have space on anyway, that makes for a very tough situation. Now, you have the election coming up, and I'm sure that people will look at, you know, what Biden did or is doing, as well as Trump, in terms of the migrants. And I think that's going to be a big factor as it relates to, you know, the election and whatnot. And Trump, you know, he went out with the, what did he do? He put out the sneakers, you know, because black folks like sneakers, right? And white folks like sneakers, and people like sneakers. So he figures, let me put the sneakers out here to boost my popularity or help me to get votes. So these are the things that, you know, the politicians are doing. But never forget that his administration rescinded Title 42 to send the migrants back, thinking that it would be a problem as COVID-19 would be spreading. So, like I said before, we have to be a little bit more patient, you know, with the migrants as they get here. We need to learn, you know, their languages, right? We need to be able to communicate with them or put people in place that can communicate with them so it can make their transition smoother here into the city. And I'm not just talking about people that speak Spanish. I'm talking about people that may speak whatever language they're speaking, right? We need to put people in place because New York has a very, very good mixture of different cultures. It's one of the reasons why I really like New York City, because of the diversity. And with that diversity, you can get people in place to help those people that, you know, may need it, you know, because a language barrier is one, right? If people can't communicate, it's very hard to have understanding without me not knowing exactly what you're saying, okay? Now, as long as the immigrants or the migrants don't come to the city, there was some guy, I forget who he was, but he was promoting squatting. Like, come on, dude, you can't promote squatting, right? You can't just say, because you're here, let me go on and stay in your place. No, that you can't do that. That's just not fair, first of all. And that, you know, breaking into somebody's place to squat in it, you know, that should be a crime in and of itself, because you're breaking and entering into a place that's not yours. So, you know, we don't want migrants breaking in. We don't want people that are here breaking in and taking a claim or staking that, or saying that, taking a stake in a place saying that this is mine, when that's really not the case. And, you know, no one should be allowed to do that. You know, let's embrace this situation and try to make the best of it, because it doesn't seem like they're going to stop sending them. Governor Abbott keeps sending them from Texas. So if they're going to be coming here, we need to just go head on and make the best of it, and try to figure out solutions, right? Let's get solutions to it so that everyone is not walking around annoyed or feeling some kind of way as it relates to the immigrant population or the migrant population that are here or that are coming here from wherever they may be coming from. Okay? So these are the things that we need to really focus on going forward. And like I said, with the Stand Still podcast coming up in the next few weeks, I'm going to be doing I'm going to be doing shows about guys who were actually in, some people call it the world of misdeeds and wrongful acts. It depends on, I guess, who you're talking to and how they view it. But I'm going to be interviewing some of these guys because I really want to hear their stories. And I was talking to a young guy, like I said, I was talking to a brother formerly of the CMB. And he was telling me that, you know, one of the problems is that, you know, all of these rappers and all of these people are telling these stories that they didn't live, and they're making millions off of it. And some guys that are really living it, you know, take issue with that, you know, and rightfully so. So we want to go head on and try to figure out, you know, I want to hear their stories, and I want to hear what exactly is the problem besides that. And I want to hear about what they're talking about in terms of how they turned their lives around and the things that they're doing, you know, in current day. So this is episode 16. I'm up to episode 16. So I'll give myself a round of applause. I'm up to episode 16 of the Stand Still podcast. And things are going well. You know, we're getting better on the production side of things. And things are really starting to pick up. And we're just going to do show after show. And we're just going to build on that to get to the next phase. And like I said, I'm very relaxed. I'm very happy about the way things are going. And I want to thank all my previous guests who have come on to the show and helped me. And I want to thank my future guests, or people that will be coming on in the future to, you know, to the show. And it's just been really, really good doing the podcast. And I like the fact, the freedom that it gives you to, you know, speak your mind and do what you want to do. And you don't have to go through anybody or get any approvals to do it. And you can just put your work out there and let people, you know, listen to your work and enjoy your work. And I'm very happy about that. So a big shout to all of my previous guests, Kim Hampton, from the WNBA, Tom Mosley, New York State Assemblyman, Jay Pluto, the rapper, Bakeman Global. He's another rapper out of Brooklyn, New York. My man Khalil Salki, registered nurse. He did my show. And there's some few other people, but I can't quite remember them all. But I guess that's a good thing. You know, I guess that's a good thing. So we'll be looking forward to talking with you guys in the future. And, you know, we want to continue to bring you content that is, you know, relevant and current and about real life issues and real life things that you might see or hear about. And we put the Stand Still podcast, we put our own spin on it. But it's always rooted in what's true. In the event that something I say is not true, please contact me and bring me up to speed, because I'm not against learning. I can learn and I make mistakes, so I'm willing to learn. So, and I'd appreciate that as well. So thank you for you guys who have been tuning in. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Continue to watch us. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that like button. And again, thank you for tuning in. And this will conclude episode 16. On migrants on the Stand Still podcast. See you guys next time. Thank you.